going on, everybody? It's time for episode 254 of the Binge Boys podcast. I'm your host, Logan, and joining me from the Midwest is Matt Potter.
Logan, thank you for having me. I am very excited to talk TV and film with you on this fine evening.
That's amazing. Thanks for coming back. It's great to have you back.
Of course. I had to make my Binge Boys 4.0 debut at one time or another, so why not today?
Hell yeah. We love to hear it. We love to see it. We love to hear it. And man, what a great time it is to be a Binge Boy and just a listener too, because look at all these nice new graphics we got, fam. They're sharp. They're clean. Again, shouts to Ricky Prosper, man.
Yeah.
For making that happen for us. Going to hit Ricky up tonight, actually, and see if he wants to hop on a couple run-throughs this year in 2022. Oh,
dude, it's like some good art movies or something.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
I can't think of any art movies. I guess Red Notice, that was kind of an art-adjacent movie.
Art was involved with the plot somewhat.
Ocean's 8, maybe?
True. That's on the list. Haven't seen Ocean's 8 yet.
Well, it's good.
That's the one led by Sandra Bullock, right? And the other ladies?
That's the female cast. The Clooney Pitt crowd is 11, 12, and 13.
Right. Well, good deal, everybody. Matt, before we begin, I got to get your take on this. On Twitter earlier, about an hour ago, I tweeted something that I thought was going to be controversial, but I'm surprised as not as many people disagreed with me.
Okay.
And I'm curious your take. And if we're about to go to war, I apologize to the people listening.
Sure.
I tweeted that I think Papa John's pizza is not great.
I don't think it's good pizza, but I also wouldn't like my metric for it. So it was all around all the time in school. That was the local shop in town.
Sure.
Because there was my small nerd school, and then across town was the big state school in an undisclosed location. But the state school had like a code where you could get an $8 one topping large pizza. So I can't in good conscience say, having consumed the amount of Papa John's pizza that I have, that it is bad, because then probably millions of calories in my consuming history would be qualified as bad.
I don't blame you there. Okay. It'd been the first time I had Papa John's in quite a long time. Same thing with me. I mean, Catherine, the school district that she works for often gives out like Papa John's fundraiser.
Yeah.
Like, she's an educator, so we're going to give them a book of coupons to Papa John's.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So we hit the coupon button tonight and got ourselves, I think it was an $8 pizza. It was an extra large, actually, and it came with free breadsticks.
Ooh, nice. Was it a shakaroni?
It wasn't a shakaroni. but it just had been such a long time, and I thought, you know, maybe Papa John's has gotten better since the downfall of Papa John himself, but it's just the same. I mean, I didn't notice a huge difference, but then again, I'm not the guy who ate 400 pizzas in 18 months or whatever the number was.
Are you a fan of the garlic butter or garlic sauce, whatever it is?
Sure.
Okay.
I forget who said it. They had me in their mentions, and they mentioned that the garlic butter from Papa John's does indeed slap.
Yep. It really elevates the pretty mid crust into something that you're finishing as much as it takes to basically clean out the sauce container.
Yeah. Garlic butter is definitely in breadsticks. Not bad, but pizza is just meh. You know.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's the take on Papa John's.
Great. I'm glad we're in agreement here. Everybody, this is the Binge Boys podcast. And no, we're not binge eating. We're binge watching, in case the first 5 minutes of this episode could have could have been like, wait, is this the one that my friend told me to listen to talk about movies and TV? They just spent the first 5 minutes talking about Papa John's.
One of them said talking about TV and film, and then they were just talking pizza.
Well, also another side note, if in the background you hear somebody working out, it's because they are. Catherine is on the Pelly right now, just getting her workout in.
Absolutely crushing Mets right now.
That post Papa John's workout that she was like, we just ate Papa John's. I should get on the bike.
Dude, you got to set up the runway in front of you. It's like, all right, this is how hard I have to hit the Pelly. I ate this many pieces of pizza. So that equates right to this kind of Pelly sesh.
Right, right. Exactly. So, yeah, that's the situation. And, but anyway, let's talk about the Binge Boys. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. If this is your first time, however, the premise is that each week, Matt and Tanner and I, Tanner is absent. He got called into work last minute. So rip to that, but that's okay. We break down the hottest in TV and movies. That's it. That's it. Plain and simple. Every Thursday, however, we come back for a bonus episode of the Binge Boys, kind of a spinoff series, if you will.
Yeah.
If we're talking in the vein of movies, spinoff. On those episodes, I'm joined by a co-host who wants to dive in on a particular movie, and we break it down piece by piece and give an in-depth review. We got some great run-throughs to end the year. Matt, let me run through some of the ones we've got coming.
Sure.
This Thursday, we've got the award-winning Universal Pictures The Cat in the Hat, starring Mike Myers, that myself and my sister hosted when my sister was home for Thanksgiving break. She was like, I like to talk about movies. And I was like, you want to talk about a movie that we binged as children? She's like, Cat in the Hat. And I was like, yep. So that's coming on Thursday.
Gosh.
Yeah, objectively not a great movie.
Oh, gosh.
More on that Thursday. Next week, we may or may not, we're still in talks with this person. I'm not going to say their name yet, but I'm still trying to nail a guest to talk about Ghostbusters with us for next week's episode. I won't say his name yet, but we're working on it.
Yep.
The week after that, Thursday the 16th, actually, on the schedule, we have it on there to run through The Amazing Spider-Man and its sequel. That'll most likely be Matt and Tanner and I.
Mm-hmm.
We'll record that here in the next couple weeks at some point.
The Garhead,
just to kind of celebrate us. The release of Spider-Man No Way Home the following day. Then the week after that, Tanner, Matt, and I will be back again talking about the first Matrix movie, again in celebration of the release of The Matrix 4. And then Tanner and I are going to round off the year with Christmas Vacation.
Good ender.
A good good end of the year movie there. And over the weekend, I messaged hella people about jumping on the run through in 2022. We're going to have a lot of new faces, new voices. If you share the same podcast interests that Matt and I have, some of these names might not be that far off. We've got Micah Weiner, Bradley Key, Dan Register, DJ Crime Dog. We've got some heavy hitters in the schedule for 2022. Trying to get Will DeFries in there at some point, and sure, Dylan Shivery as well. But we're working on it.
It takes time, but these are power hitters, so you'll want to stick around for when they come up.
Absolutely. We've got awesome movies next year too. I tried to make next year's schedule in kind of sync with the release schedule of next year. So like, for example, we've got around the weekend that Robert Pattinson's The Batman comes out, we have the Dark Knight trilogy. We'll run through that the following week. Well, I guess it's not the following week anymore, but Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, we're going to run through Doctor Strange. Same thing with later on in the year with Thor, the sequel to Jurassic Park, because we'll get the in the next installment of that franchise next summer. More on that later. And yeah, just trying to kind of line it up. Same thing with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. We're going to do that one around the day that the, or around the week time that the sequel is supposed to come out. More on that later as well. So we've just got a ton of fun stuff coming. Oh, also, he'll be remiss if I said it. Dad is going to hop on 3 episodes of The Run Through next year.
Dang.
He smashed that December button, though, because he's doing 3 episodes in a row, December of 22. So it might be a minute before we hear from Dad. But
dude, he's just gonna be in a lab cooking until then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a big December boy. That's when his birthday was. So he's or where his birthday is. He is still alive. So he's just ready. So we're talking about a lot today, but real quickly, what we're talking about, just to kind of give you a little rundown of what we're talking about today, we're going to go through some headlines, which mostly, like every week, focuses around Marvel's news, as well as a couple cinematic universe updates from Netflix. And we'll talk briefly about the Jurassic World 3 prologue that was released just weirdly last week. And then Matt and I are going to talk about King Richard, Tick, Tick, Boom, and Hawkeye's episode 1 and 2. So, good stuff.
Let's get this shit.
Let's get it. Matt, let's talk about headlines. We're just going to get into the meat of it. That's it. Last week early, which this came as a surprise to me, maybe you as well, Scarlett Johansson in an interview confirmed that she is coming back to Marvel with a top secret project following her lawsuit. As a producer, not an actress. She's not starring in this as of yet, but she is. She's coming back to do some producing for a Marvel project. Matt, where do you, when you saw this headline up on our rundown, what do you think here?
Yeah, I think I on the rundown, and then as I think I came across my just consumption of news. Yeah, that was sort of my thing. I was like, well, maybe this was like a because they settled out of court, I believe. So this may be part of that. And, you know, maybe it's just to get her just to show that the beef has been squashed. Because when you hear settled out of court, there's, you know, a lot of different implications with that. But it is, I didn't know that it was just producer. So I'm very interested to see, as we get a little bit more information about it, potentially following Yelena, just staying involved in the Black Widow family.
Yep. That's I think that's where I'm at. In an excerpt from an interview with Feige, he wanted to point out explicitly that this is not a Black Widow, or at least her iteration of Black Widow related, but very much so. I think a lot of the rumors point to Black Widow played by Yelena. So, or by Florence Pugh, I'm sorry. But so who knows? Maybe she'll be in a What If, or maybe it's an animated S.H.I.E.L.D. series is rumored to be something that we'll get at some point.
Yeah.
It's just remains to be seen. It's too early to tell at this point.
Definitely.
We'll just keep it on the Marvel news. First of all, Matt, I forgot to tell you this. Happy Spider Monday.
Happy Spider Monday to all who observe. I saw the L that you and many others took and have not subjected myself to that punishment. But I know it is a job requirement to at least give it a shot. So probably after recording.
I will say this. Well, first of all, before we even say that, hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, Matt.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to for all that observe as well.
Yeah.
Should have led with that, but
sure.
But either way, Spider-Man No Way Home tickets went on sale today, the day that we're recording this on Monday. And I did stay up till midnight last night to try to get some. I failed to get them last night. However, I did wake up today and I did secure the bag and got some for opening Thursday night, the 16th, that me and Tanner will go to by ourselves. And then the following day, I would have booked it if I could have with all of my, you know, my main friend group here,
sure.
But there just truly weren't enough seats to book. So me and Tanner are going to go Thursday night because Tanner works Friday night, I think, or something like that, or he has something going on Friday night. And then me and the buddies are going to go the following night, Friday night, and we'll see it again. Well, I'll see it again. They'll see it for the first time, which is probably just going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
For me to see the reactions, assuming that all of our rumors and theories and whatnot are true about this movie. But either way, I stayed up till midnight. It was a similar situation to Endgame. If you bought tickets for Endgame opening day, it was kind of a queue situation. Mm-hmm. They kind of threw you in a situation where you get on the AMC app, or at least this is how it was for AMC. I'm not sure about Fandango or Regal or any of those other theaters, but it said like, hey, you choose your date, you choose your time, and then you are given a wait time. And initially it said 10 minutes. And I said, sweet. But due to the overwhelming amount of people trying to buy them, the seats that I kept trying to select, the app wasn't refreshing fast enough, so they had been seats that had already been purchased.
Oh.
And after 5 minutes, it kicks you out because it wants to give the next person a chance to buy some.
Right. It's got to keep the line moving.
Right. Ugh. So I got booted out, tried to get back in, and then it said my wait time was an hour. And I said, you know what? I'm not tired, surprisingly. I was playing video games. I was kind of up on a kick. I had a nap yesterday, so I wasn't super duper tired. So I just stayed up, waited through that hour, and then I reached that endpoint of the hour, and it said, it like refreshed and was like another hour, and I was like, screw this, I'm going to bed. if I can't see it opening weekend, then that's just the cost. But then I woke up the next morning and saw that there was a overwhelmingly good amount of tickets left for other showings, just not the showing that I wanted to get, because I was going to have a pretty decent like 7 people, and that's probably added reason why it was harder for me to snag some seats. But regardless, we're going, we're going to see it. Happy Spider Monday, everybody. But in the same vein, last week it was rumored, this isn't confirmed, but it does say that Sony has at least 2 more villain solo projects planned for its Spider-Man universe, the SSU, they're starting to call it, the Sony Spider-Man universe, which is coincides with the MCU, but is still its own separate thing. I think that's probably just like a covering their bases thing, in case things hit the shit with Marvel again in the future, or Disney, that they can just afford to do things on their own.
Right.
So it says that Sony is developing a Kraven the Hunter movie, and they've already developed 2 Venom movies and a Morbius movie that comes out in January. However, we might get to see Sony develop a Sandman and a Rhino solo movie as well. There's no other details besides that. We don't even know if this would star Thomas Hayden Church, or if this would star Paul Giamatti, or if this is just a completely rebooted thing. And one of the biggest rumors about this story is, Matt, we've discussed a few times about how, why in these trailers are we seeing only 5 villains?
Right.
Because Marvel apparently wants to save the Sinister Six. Or sorry, Sony wants to save the Sinister Six for its own real big buildup. So that's why there's not 6 villains in this movie. Or they could be bamboozling us and there's 6 villains in this movie.
Right. I'm leaning towards that. I think they've pulled the old bait and switch a few different times. So
yeah. So that's really it. It's just the fact that those are the 2 movies that have been kind of hinted at by some heavy Spider-Man Twitter leaker accounts. So I guess we'll just figure it out. But on that same wavelength, I guess, on that same subject, today it was announced by Amy Pascal, which is a really big producer in Sony. I'm pretty sure she's actually like a COO of Sony Entertainment. She's got a chief in her job title. I know that. But she announced that Tom Holland is not going anywhere, that quote, "This is not the last movie we are making with Marvel. This is not the last Spider-Man movie. We are getting ready to make the next Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and Marvel. It just isn't part of the Homecoming trilogy. We're thinking of this as three films, and now we're going to go on to the next three. This is not the last of our MCU movies." So, all of this talk of Tom Holland saying, "Oh, I don't know if I'm," it's all been hosh-posh to kind of push us in a different direction. Like you said, they bamboozle us once, yep. they'll do it again.
And with him, you have to almost counter-program him to make sure he doesn't reveal the real story. You have to say, all right, give him this fake story so that he has something to chew on.
True. So that's it so far. In other comments she made today, she mentioned that Into the Spider-Verse 2 is an awesome movie, apparently, and that we are going to see footage from it very soon. I wouldn't be surprised if they snuck in a teaser for that movie with this movie, with No Way Home, but at the same time, maybe they want to leave one Spider-Verse movie alone and then let it be out for a couple weeks and then drop it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, really. We're getting another 6 to 10 years of Tom Holland Spider-Man, which is great in my book.
Yeah. I can't wait to see him become old Spider-Man.
I know, right? This is the first time we're going to see Spider-Man go on to more than three movies.
Right? Yeah. Maybe he'll be in there, but maybe he'll be more of a mentor to perhaps a Miles Morales character.
That's another comment she made, saying that they really want, I'm trying to see if this one has the quote. I saw the quote on Twitter. It essentially said something like, "We really want to do Miles Morales live action," something like that. Nice. So if that's in the books, I'm so game. Game.
Let's do it.
Next up, I hinted at this at the top. There's not much information to go with this, so bear with us, but Power Rangers is getting a cinematic universe, and it's going to live on Netflix. Who's asking for this?
Well, but there was that Power Rangers movie that came out like end of 2019, right?
Something like that. I never saw it.
Me either. I heard it was just like not great.
Yeah, it says, quote, by E1, which is, I guess, the studio behind it. E1's president told Deadline, quote, "It's not just one show. It is shows and films and kids programming. We have a great writing partner." Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Netflix is excited. You shouldn't say knock on wood when announcing something. That makes us think that you don't have this in the bag yet.
Yeah, everyone working on that movie is just like, what the hell?
Yeah, it says Netflix is excited. We're excited. We hope to have some news soon. Power Rangers universe is coming to Netflix. And that's all we have. We have no stars. We have no nothing. We just know that this is happening.
Sneaky shouts to Elizabeth Banks, who is in the 2017 Power Rangers.
Pretty sure she was the villain.
I think so. I think that's what she was nominated for an award, a Teen Choice Award for Choice Movie Villain in Power Rangers 2017.
Sheesh. I don't know what to say about that. So we can just get out of here. If it's good and if it's done well, I'm all for it. But
yeah, of course, like anything.
Yeah, absolutely. But if it just, you know, if they keep shit in the bed like they have been at more recent live action Power Rangers projects, who knows? So last little headline, and it wasn't little for me because I am a huge Jurassic Park guy. We know this. Everyone knows this. Matt and Tanner know this. So the other day when Colin Trevorrow and Universal Pictures released the first 5 minutes of Jurassic World Dominion, which is what they're calling the prologue, I was quite shocked. And it was also amazing because as a part of this new Binge Boys push, not only on Instagram and Twitter are we putting up reviews and top five lists and episode announcements, but we're also going to be trying to put up more posters and trailers on the IG as well. Mm-hmm. And this was the first iteration of that. I put the poster up and then 5 minutes later, I was like, oh shit, they released 5 minutes of footage, not even a trailer, just footage, which is just an odd move.
I didn't watch it because it was like one of those things where I saw the news and it just seemed odd. So I made a note to investigate later and I did not. So here we are.
So here we are. So let me give you the rundown here, Matt.
Sure.
And it could be perfectly described because there's no major plot things. Have you seen Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom?
Yes. Yep.
So you're aware at spoilers ahead for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, but I'm pretty sure it released in like 2016. So if you've seen it. You remember the little girl pressing the release button and then the dinosaurs ran away and we're left to believe that at this point in time, dinosaurs are now coexisting with humans.
Yes. Yep.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I've read this correctly or not, but I'm pretty sure this movie takes place 3 to 5 years after that movie ended, and dinosaurs are still roaming the earth. So either humans have just given up or they're just thinking, you know, we live every day with lions and tigers and bears. Why not add velociraptors to that? So here we are. Yeah. The first 3 minutes of this footage is a true prologue where it shows a bunch of dinosaurs roaming the earth 65 million years ago. And then the camera cuts to present day, cuts to a drive-in movie theater where fans and moviegoers are enjoying the "Let's all go to the lobby" with the iconic T-Rex shadow behind the movie screen. Cars are getting trampled, people are screaming, people are running. There's helicopters chasing the T-Rex, and that's it. And then it flashes to the logo and says more footage coming soon. I think it would be really smart. I don't know how it works with like studios scheduling trailer releases with other studios' movies.
Yeah.
But I don't know what Universal's next big release is. So I feel like dropping a trailer like with Spider-Man would be really good because it's going to be a huge movie.
Yeah.
However, it is Jurassic Park. People will go see it. It doesn't need that big of a marketing push. But just a quick reminder to everybody, of course, Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard are coming back, as well as Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, and Sam Neill reprising their roles as their original characters from the original film. And according to Colin Trevorrow, the director, these are not cameos. These are full-blown. They are in the plot. They are main characters.
It's a Ghostbusters afterlife situation.
Yeah, which is just dope. That's it. Cool. In an interview with Laura Dern, she just said, "It was incredible to be back together. It was amazing to join my boys and go down memory lane. And bring together the conclusion of a trilogy and a saga." So this is being looked at as the conclusion of the first 6 movies. And as of right now, assuming COVID doesn't worsen and pushes it back, it comes out June 10th, 2022.
All right.
Are you hype for seeing dinosaurs roaming the earth again, Matt, or are you out on it at this point?
No, I was into it. I liked them bringing Jeff Goldblum back. I think that there was some good things done with Jurassic World, those two movies, but I think the Jurassic Park ones are a little bit stronger, just like as movies, as stories. So combining the two are hopefully is a recipe for success.
I hope you're right, especially because Jurassic Park is my favorite movie ever.
Right,
and having these three back gets my hopes up because I feel like they've probably tried to get those three back with the past few movies and they probably were like, nah, we're done. But then they were like, listen, come on. And I just have hopes that Sam Neill, didn't come back to, to do a bad movie. I hope it's not bad, but
yeah, of course.
But you never know with these sequels, man. But now we're on to the heavy hitters.
The big
Let's start with King Richard. Because I watched that the other night. Tanner, I think, is watching it tomorrow after or before he goes to work. And then you, I think, will watch it some point this week.
This week, yeah.
So I will not go spoilers. However, it is true story. So if I blend into spoilers, I apologize. But I won't ruin the end of the movie if you don't know the story of these girls.
Right, the Williams sisters.
So King Richard, directed by Rinaldo Marcus Green, starring Will Smith as the title character, Richard Williams. Also here is John Bernthal. I don't want to butcher her name. I don't want to butcher it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that to her. And a couple of awesome... There we go. Sayana Sidney and Demi Singleton playing Venus and Serena, respectively. The synopsis of this movie is a look at how tennis superstars Venus and Serena Williams became who they are after the coaching from their father, Richard Williams. Listen, I'll just be frank with you, Matt. This movie was fucking fantastic.
Yeah, your A-plus came through. I know you kind of prepped us for it, saying that former binge boy Pearson said that it was fantastic, but the A-plus, that is one of the first... Well, I guess you gave it to Afterlife, did you not?
I think Afterlife, I either gave an A or an A-minus. If I gave it an A-plus, I forgot. But, man... So I'm going to be honest here. We had talked about doing King Richard a few weeks ago on the Binge Boys. We've kind of pushed it off a couple weeks just because the holidays. Mm-hmm. And as we've pushed it off more and more, I've lost interest more and more. It's almost felt like homework at this point. And last night when Catherine and I, we got home later in the evening from my aunt's house, we went over there for dinner. And we got home and I said, this is 2.5 hours. It is a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I'm going back to school tomorrow. We'll watch the first hour or so and then we'll go to bed. And I said, I'm totally game with that. We did not go to bed. We stayed up the entire time and watched this movie because, Matt, this movie has 2 hours and 25 minutes, but it goes by like that. It is a fast movie, man. It goes... At one point, we paused it to get, I think, an intermission, and I go, oh, my God, there's only 45 minutes left?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. I was entertained the whole time. Didn't get on my phone once. I didn't want to pick up my phone once. I was captivated. I did watch it at home on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't available in theaters, but just couldn't find the time to go to the theater for this one.
It doesn't seem like, I mean... I feel like it's not necessarily a theater movie. It seems like a good just sort of character study. I mean, tennis is, you know, a sport, and so that might function on like the big screen, but not, you know, not as much as some other sports movies might need the big screen.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And in this kind of realm of the cast, the two lovely ladies that played Venus and Serena did fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had heard that they hired two intermediate tennis players and taught them to act rather than hiring two actresses and teaching them tennis.
Oh, Kyle Bandujo would really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Shouts to Kyle. But yeah, man, the girls did amazing. And I'll say this, this might be a hot take. I don't know, but, Will, this is the best acting Will Smith's ever done.
I believe it. I feel like this is a role that combines a lot of like what he can do. I mean, having not seen the movie, obviously, but it seems right there for him.
Matt, listen to, I think he really needs this role too. Cause let's listen to this. What year is it? 2021. Let's go to 2020. No, let's go to 2010. Listen to these movies that Will Smith has been a part of in the last 10 years. And I say that because he really needed this. He had The Karate Kid, which didn't do well critically.
Not great.
He did After Earth, which bombed.
Not great.
He did Bad Boys for Life, which did okay, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He did, he was a producer on a bunch of stuff.
Don't forget Bright.
Bright, yep. Bright, which bombed, I think, as well.
Gemini Man.
Yep, yep. He's had some stinkers in the last 10 years, man. Mm-hmm. Suicide Squad didn't perform well critically or fan-wise.
Aladdin.
Aladdin was very divided too.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I didn't hear. What I was trying to say is I did not hear universal praise. So
it wasn't fantastic. However, I didn't hate it. I enjoyed myself, yeah. but very much so. I agree. Not amazing, mm-hmm. but man, this was fantastic. He deserves. I'm trying to think of other best actors of the year, but Will Smith deserves this Oscar. I'm gonna be pissed if he doesn't get it, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like while we do talk about movies, we don't always talk about super Oscar worthy movies, but I feel like this is a good sort of cross section into one that we'll talk about here and has a good shot. I think it's a good story. Something I think was kind of weird, I guess this is more of a question about like the movie and its structure. Was it more focused on the dad or the daughters?
That is an amazing question, because I think a lot of people are going to go into this movie confused.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie about their dad. This is not... which is tough, because at that intermission point, Catherine and I went back and forth a little bit, and I was like, why are they calling this King Richard? Because this is clearly about their daughters rising to fame, but it's like the daughters are side characters, because Matt, this guy, this dad, is the parent that everybody hates at sporting events. He's in the coach's face. He is telling the kid with the coach standing right there to disregard what the coach is saying and to listen to what he's saying. Yeah. He is overbearing. He is crossing that border. He is insultingly. At one point, I was like, I'm going to fail this movie because I hate this character. But Will Smith played him so well, bro.
Did it call to mind Tiger Woods' dad from the doc?
I listened to a review this morning on another podcast, and they compared him to Tiger's dad, mm-hmm. but like worse.
Wow.
Like, way worse. Like, you'll know when you watch this movie, within the first 10 minutes, you'll go, oh, this guy sucks. But mm-hmm. he's doing it for his daughters, and his vision for them came true. And I don't know about you. I'm not a big tennis aficionado, but I didn't know that Venus was the one that hit the stardom first. I've only ever heard of Serena. I'd never heard of Venus personally.
Yeah. I was actually a high school tennis conference champion at the lowest doubles position.
Shit.
So I know a little bit about the old racket, but I did know that like Venus kind of like accelerated quickly and then didn't quite reach the same stratosphere that Serena's curve somewhat currently still in. I think she's hurt, but I think like she's still trying to play professionally and likely still could.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another standout here, which surprised me, and I forgot that he was in the movie at all, was John Bernthal. Mm-hmm. I also known as the Punisher. He was awesome. He's only ever played, they pointed this out in this other podcast interview, that John Bernthal has only ever played alpha male dickheads. But in this movie, he plays a very positive person, and he does really, really well. So I was happy to see him get the role and get that.
Nice.
Trying to think. Again, like, it was 2.5 hours, felt like an hour and a half. It blew by. It was one of those where, as Catherine went to bed last night and I was waiting for the tickets to go live, I was just Googling. I was researching. I was watching interviews with the guy, the real guy. And there's this really intense scene. I might have to find the YouTube video and send you it to the real life piece of it, where Venus gets a TV interview and the interviewer is kind of doing the media thing where he's asking her, he's like doubling down on a question she already answered, right? Like, for example, he asks her like, you're 15 years old and you're going up against these 20-year-olds. Like, how are you, you know, how are you doing that? And she gives an answer like, I just know I can do it. I'm treat them as
a, just like a trained response, kind of.
A trained response. And the media guy goes, or the interviewer says like, no, but like, how? And like her dad from off camera butts in and goes and verbally almost borderline assaults the interviewer on live TV. He's like, you will not question my little girl like that. She's a 15-year-old black woman. She is the first of her kind in her sport. How dare you question her? This is her livelihood and her reputation on the line, and you're trying to paint her in a bad life. Move on to the next question. And like, the interview, like, I looked over at Catherine and I was like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
This guy is that guy, bro. Matt, this movie is so good, man. One of my favorites of the year. It's not one that I'm going to sit down and watch every weekend. However, it is highly rewatchable.
This feels like a really good go into the holidays with this one. Telling like all your friends and family. It's like, dude, no, this one. Like,
yeah. Couldn't agree more. I very much so enjoyed myself. A+ on King Richard. If you're listening to this, be on the lookout for Taryn and Matt's thoughts when we post up our review on the Instagram later this week. So catch it on HBO Max or in theaters now. Matt.
Yeah.
Another movie that released over the last couple weeks, Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yeah, it is a certified film that was released recently.
A Tick, Tick, Boom was released on Netflix. It stars Andrew Garfield, Vanessa Hutchins, Alexander Shipp, Robin DeJesus, several more, directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, which I did not know until the credits rolled. It says, on the cusp of his 30th birthday, a promising young theater composer navigates love, friendship, and the pressures of life as an artist in New York City to write his musical. And since I led with all that that King Richard stuff, I'll let you fire off. What'd you think of Tick, Tick, Boom?
Sure. So I didn't see this as a movie I would end up liking as much as I did. I was a fan of this. I always get kind of iffy when two things about this movie were kind of working against it. When a well-known actor who is not known for being a singer stars in a musical, and then when there is a musical that is adopted to a movie, it's like, okay, well, why does it have to exist as a movie? Why can't it just be, you know, a stage show? So it has to sort of, you know, so I had those two strikes against it in my mind. And I think for the first point, I think Andrew Garfield didn't absolutely stun. I think he was asked to do about as much as he could, and he performed well. I think he's a great dancer. I think he could pretend to play the piano very, very well. His singing was fine. It wasn't distracting, which is really the good thing. And then as for justifying this movie's existence as like a movie and not just like a stage play, I thought it did a really good job with a lot of sort of the notes he was taking and sort of using the visual effects and the lots of different like locations and kind of like the frame story, how he is performing his show, but then also showing like how his life was. I was a big fan. I gave it an A- and I stand by that. It's definitely going to be on my top 10 of the year, kind of out of nowhere. So happy that that's always the case. What did you think, Logan? I know you're not a huge musical guy. I think when we talked about The Prom, that was more of a beatdown than a celebration.
Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. I loved the movie. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect to. Especially with Andrew Garfield. He's such an interesting actor with the roles he chooses. Because he's been in some heaters. I mean, of course he was Spider-Man, but he, you know, mainly got the attention of everyone on The Social Network, which he did amazing on as well. But then he's done a couple. I think he did like a Mel Gibson war movie a few years ago.
Saw Ridge, yeah.
Did you see that one?
I didn't. It was like at a time either. Where I wasn't into movies that'd be that serious.
Yeah. He's been in some really, really good movies. But man, this I really much so enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. Within the first 10 minutes, I was like, oh, this is a full-blown musical.
Oh, it is a musical. It is about musicals.
which I think helped my score, because at first I thought it was just going to be a musical about a guy writing a musical, but no, like, you are watching the musical. Mm-hmm. But you're also like flashing back to the inspiration behind the musical.
Right.
But which was really clever.
Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking at some point, it's like, okay, this is going to start inspiring Rent, right? And it never really did. Just kind of like the guy's experiences with his friends getting AIDS and sort of just seeing their deterioration for that. So I feel like it did a good job at like showing that, like, hey, this, you know, existed in his life and this is where that experience came from, but it kept it focused on like basically how he kept going after something he put almost a decade into just didn't work out. Full spoilers ahead, I guess.
Yeah. I just really very much so enjoyed myself here, man. Mm-hmm. Trying to think about what, first of all, sneaky Vanessa Hudgens in this.
Yeah. She apparently, per the girlfriend, Rachel, she is a staple of the Netflix direct to Netflix movie.
Yeah. I've seen that as well. She did great. Mm-hmm. Also, according to her IMDb, she is joining Zack Snyder's Of the Dead universe in an animated series called Army of the Dead Lost Vegas. Not Las Vegas.
Right, of
Lost
course.
Vegas. Whatever, dude. Which, you know, we're happy to have you. but I should get a role, too, considering how much I've hyped up that movie.
Yeah.
You guys are going to hate me when I read that off as being in my top 10. But however, we've gotten some really good movies in the last couple of months.
Yep.
So I don't know if Army of the Dead is going to make the cut. but you know, just a good musical, man. And mm-hmm. I really liked the flashbacks. Yep. I think Andrew Garfield did a pretty damn good job. I think he should be at least nominated for Best Actor here. I think he did a pretty damn good job.
Mm-hmm. The friend, Michael, I think that was a great performance. I think that had a lot to it. I think a lot of the supporting roles in this were more difficult than they'd appear, because you have to just the real life emotion of wanting to support like your friend or your family when you know it's just like something that like you want them to make the opposite decision every time. It seems like it's like, no, just get a job, please pay some bills.
Yeah. And the scenes with his friend Michael ended up being some of the more like heart-stringing.
Yeah.
I'll be fully transparent. I teared up quite a bit watching this movie. There's a lot of really heavy scenes, especially the scene, if we're going full spoilers, where he, you know, he tells him what his condition is.
Yep.
And Andrew Garfield plays that really well too, just breaks down. And it kind of shows you how, and I think in that moment it showed Jonathan Larson, it showed John how full of himself he was, especially when there was that scene also where, or it was the same scene where he said, why didn't you tell me sooner? And he said, well, I wanted to, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just, I, my thoughts for this movie aren't as collected as King Richard, but it was a good time. I enjoyed myself. The finale hit and I almost was like, what? Mm-hmm. More? What? Can we have more? But
right. Yeah. I wanted more like of the story. I think there's, I'm definitely interested in learning more about his, just the real life person's life. Speaking of the real life person, remiss if not to say, rest in peace, Stephen Sondheim.
Yes.
Who he recorded that actual voicemail that was really left for, yeah, that was left for John Larson, even though he was being played by the dad from Get Out.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, and again, as my watching partner reminded or told me, the dad from Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants as well.
Oh God, he was also in What If as a general in What If, the Captain Carter episode. But
that it was the voice. You heard that voice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, crazy coincidence that he ended up passing away the other day.
I know. It was literally the day I watched it. We watched it around like noon. I like looked up, just the dude could have lived anywhere from, you know, modern day to 30 years ago, and I wouldn't really know. It's not really my world. And then, yeah, he died that day. So rest in peace, him and his family. This is not really, I feel like neither of us are really equipped to speak on his legacy, considering we're not big musical guys. So,
sure.
Yeah. But if you are a big musical person and you know a lot of famous actors, definitely do this, because there's apparently cameos just out the wazoo. Like the whole diner scene is just a who's who of thing. Lin-Manuel Miranda's in that one himself. He's playing the cook.
I did catch that.
I only clocked one of the women drinking mimosas was from Hamilton, but they were both from there. So I missed them both. But yeah, anytime there's an audience, just, and you know about musical theaters, just get ready.
Yeah. Get that pen and paper out and start connecting those dots.
For real.
Yeah, I agree. If you enjoy musicals and you enjoy the cast here, if you enjoy Lin-Manuel Miranda, this is right up your alley. You're going to love this movie. Will it get a Best Picture nomination, do you think?
I think they're trying. I think this seems like more of a Golden Globe winning movie.
I completely agree. Up until a few years ago, I would not know what you have meant by that. But after we've done this for a little while, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But also they have like something that's like outstanding, like comedy, musical, or like something else. So maybe that's why I think that.
That's true. I could see this scooping up quite a few of that category at the Golden Globes.
Right, right. Yeah. Definitely a lot of supporting actor and actress nominations should be had. And even leading. I mean, yeah, I'll say it. Leading. He deserves it. He deserves the nod.
Yeah. I think the unfortunate thing about the fact that he played Spider-Man is that a lot of people are going to look at him and just think Spider-Man. And he's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. Same thing with I'll defend this guy every time he comes up. Robert Pattinson. He's got a bad name for him because of Twilight, but the guy's a really, really good actor in his other stuff, in his other films. So don't just, you know, for those who just associate an actor with a character, there's a lot more to some actors than just that superhero he played. But speaking of superheroes,
yeah.
That transition, Matt. We're back in Disney Plus. we're in Hawkeye.
Dude, we're in our bag right now talking about the Marvel TV shows.
We sure are, guys. Hawkeye is a TV miniseries on Disney Plus. There will be 6 episodes. Disney released the first 2 last week, the week of Thanksgiving, and this is a series based on the Marvel Comics superhero Hawkeye, centering on the adventures of young Avenger Kate Bishop, who takes on the role after the original Avenger, Clint Barton. This stars Jeremy Renner, Haley Steinfeld, Vera Farmiga, according to IMDb, Florence Pugh. Yeah,
haven't seen her yet. She's only in 4 episodes, and we've seen 2. So get ready for some Pugh time.
Ooh, I love that. Pew talk. Linda Cardellini, Tony Dalton, and many more. There's a very good cast here. I'm scrolling through IMDb, seeing if I can find Wilson Fisk in here, but I can't see it yet. But more on that later in the show if we do indeed get that. But
sure.
Again, we got the first two episodes. Never Meet Your Heroes was episode one. Episode two was Hide and Seek. Matt, what did you think of the premiere of Hawkeye?
Premiere in terms of just the first episode, or both episodes counted as the premiere?
Sorry, both episodes counting sure. as the premiere.
I thought it was just okay.
Okay.
I was entertained watching it. However, there's been... of the shows that they've released, so the three, this is the fourth, I was left, I think they've done two episodes like for all of them. This was the most I've been like, you know, I'm okay to stop after the first one, but you know, I was already set in to watch both of them. So I did. And I'm not saying it's not entertaining. I think Haley Steinfeld is just doing a little bit too much. She's just doing a lot. Yeah.
I know what you're saying. You don't even have to go into it.
So
she's just doing the Haley Steinfeld thing.
Yeah. I feel like she's kind of in a different show, or just like on a different wavelength than Jeremy Renner, which, you know, is fine. I think that's definitely sort of part of the movie, but I'm hoping they'll kind of, you know, equalize a little bit as the show continues. What about you? Yeah, sorry to come in with just throw a lot at you.
No, I think somewhere in between what you said and loving it. I mean, okay. I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I will say, and I'm sure you can agree here, it's nice to get back to like a ground level streets of New York, not global catastrophe plot. I mean, it was cool to see Jeremy Renner in his element. He's yep. kind of gotten the character kind of like what Scarlett Johansson had, was just like the side character in all of the Avengers movies. So to kind of see him at the forefront was really nice. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like he deserves it. He's been up in this franchise since the beginning.
Yeah.
So he, huh. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed myself. I do agree that Haley, some of her writing is very childish.
Yeah. I feel like the role was written with a younger actor in mind. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, she both comes off as a natural and like she's trying too hard.
Which, I mean, thinking about the character, that kind of fits. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's good art, I guess.
job well done.
Yeah. I also think at times the show thinks it's funnier than I found it.
And I agree too.
An example from each episode was I was all about Rogers the Musical for about the first like 2 minutes, and then it kind of kept going.
Yep.
I was into the idea of Hawkeye having to go to a LARP thing for about the first 2 minutes, and then I literally turned to Rachel and said, man, it sure feels good to be watching Role Models again.
Yeah. I listened to an MCU podcast, and they were saying that the show gives off too big of like side quest vibes.
A little bit.
The whole second chunk of that second episode is dedicated to him going to chasing the leader of the LARPing group, which looking back on it in the moment, I enjoyed it so much, but in hindsight, thinking about all of the cheesy slow motion fighting with plastic swords, I think they took themselves not too seriously, but they thought they were, like you just said, they were funnier than they actually are.
Yeah. Like I think Rogers the Musical, like is definitely better and doesn't necessarily deserve to be lumped in with the LARPing, which is like, that's just a hacky joke. Like, I feel like we could have watched an episode of South. There's literally episodes of South Park that are like 10 years old that with that like same conceit.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and I think it's supposed to be funny because Jeremy Renner at the up until this point, we've just seen him as this, like, I don't want to say a brute, but very so like a serious older member of the Avengers that's just like, I don't have time to be here. I'd rather be with my kids type guy. And with him showing up to the LARPing thing, and he's like, seriously, I got to put this costume on. Like, they're really trying to get us to think that this is absolutely gut busting hilarious.
Right. And I'm not obviously opposed to it being gut busting hilarious, but I'm just going to talk about this all the time, but Rogers was undercut when like he realized that like his friend Nat, his best friend in the world, like isn't around anymore. And it's like, and then in the thing, it's the suit that he wore when he was just complete in like the darkest place of his life, when he was, you know, without his whole family, and just sort of like going on a bat, like more extreme than like Batman, like actually doing the killing and whatnot. Like, I think that like just the mixture on the jokes and like the, you know, sort of the traumas of Hawkeye aren't really mixing as well as I feel like they've done with, you know, WandaVision or even Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't know what tone they want. Like,
yeah,
are we trying to show that? Because from one angle, they do a really good job of saying like, hey, it's been 5 years since they defeated Thanos. And Natasha has been dead for 5 years, but he's still scarred from it. And they show the fact that he has to wear a hearing aid because of all of the shit that he's been through. And they show that, like you said, he has this weird attachment to the murderous suit that he and sword that he was wearing for the 2 years or however long it was when Thanos snapped everybody away.
Yeah, I think he has an attachment to it because he just wants to literally prevent anyone from,
that's true,
getting the wrath of like what sort of he incurred when he was a man without attachment.
I'm wondering, because the way he was like describing it to his wife, like on the phone, he was like, yeah, I got to get my suit. Like, does she know what he was up to during that time period?
I wonder. I feel like she knows everything. I feel
you
like
think he was just like, yeah, when you and the kids left, I went on a murdering spree.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in no uncertain terms, maybe in, you know, more uncertain terms, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe he was just like, yeah, I was just going and killing really bad people.
Yeah. Like, I was in a dark place. Like, that's what he probably could have said.
But, so what are you thinking about, Vera Farmiga and her kind of role as Kate's mom hooking up with this obviously villain of some kind, right? Like, definitely some black market gang banger,
something
like. Do you think that they're trying to throw that in our face? Like, clearly this guy's a villain and then they're going to rip the rug from underneath us? Or do you think he's just going to be like, or do you think it's just that obvious of writing that like this dude's up to something?
This might be too much of a shot in the dark, but my like, the favorite of my like non-obvious theories is the classic, her mom was actually the villain and he was doing stuff like to save her or like cover it up. Like, I don't know. I think that's it. I don't think her mom is as clueless as she's being shown to be so far. I feel like that's a common trope. Maybe it's just the Agatha effect. You just think that someone's doing it all along.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely a possibility. Yeah, I don't know here. Part of me wonders, like, is she going to have to turn on her mom, and her mom's also involved in whatever's going on? What if her parents have connections to the rumors of Kingpin showing up, like, with all of this black market stuff and, like, sketchy business? That just screams Kingpin. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At one point, one of the bad guys says, like, oh, no, I just made that connection in my head. I was going to say, one of the bad guys says, like, she's going to be upset if we kill you. But they're talking about, of course, the second episode ends with Echo on screen. And we already know we're getting a Disney Plus show about her. So is she going to be like a villain turned evil or good type situation? Or is she going to be a hero? Like, what are you thinking here moving forward? What's the trajectory of this show? Because I truly don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, especially with Florence Pugh entering the mix. I don't know if I could see Florence or does she have another name other than Yelena, but not like a, you know, code name. I could see her going against Echo and Hawkeye and Kate being stuck in the middle and sort of having to play both sides a little bit. That's kind of what I think. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really have too collected thoughts on it.
I don't either. I don't know. I don't know. I think it's up for grabs, honestly. It's too early to tell, although, like, it's still crazy to think that, like, some of these shows, like WandaVision, get the 10-episode treatment, whereas, like, this show, as well as I think Falcon and the Winter Soldier too, also, right? And Loki, only 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting. I don't know. I mean, as of right now, it's above Loki for me. Cause I know that I thought less of Loki than you and Tanner did.
Yeah.
But but we're still very early in, so it's not even fair to say. But
yeah. I think those other two characters that we were talking about, Echo and Yelena, getting them into the mix is only going to help the show. There's already just, in my opinion, too many characters.
It's true. There's a lot going on here
in this show. So, like, if you can get some that I can actually, you know, have either a connection with or can form a connection to, I feel like even with just the one shot, Echo looked awesome. So very, just a great look to her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very excited to see what her deal is, along with Dorn. What's his deal?
Classic.
He's not listening to this.
Yet.
Micah might. Shouts to Micah. Nah, he won't. Yeah. So I think that's pretty general thoughts on Hawkeye here. I assume what episodes are going to come out on Wednesdays, like they've done in the past.
Seems like it. Yeah. I love the Christmas vibe of it. I think that's great.
Yeah, I think that's real strong. I like the Christmas. And that honestly, it is probably one of the better parts of it, like having it take place in Christmas. Lucky the dog, the golden retriever, is a nice touch.
I only recognize them as pizza dog.
Well, it'd be great if going forward we just had like a little golden retriever running around Avengers compound. That'd be a mega cute scene.
Mega cute. Love that.
So that's it as of right now for Hawkeye. Episodes to come. To what? But going forward, in terms of the Binge Boys, of course, we've talked about the run through, what's coming for that. We discussed internally about the film Encanto, which has done very well, also done by Lin-Manuel Miranda. Man, what a year this guy's having.
Dude's just chucking up heaters.
Dude's just putting movies out. dude's just racking up that paycheck from Disney, especially.
Yeah, really.
We've talked about how that came out in theaters, but I found out last week, and I think a part of Disney Plus Day, I think they said they kind of slipped in like, hey, this movie's coming out for free on Disney Plus Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tanner and I and Matt, maybe we all agreed that maybe we'll just wait for that Disney Plus Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's seems like it's going to be a good movie. If it's making all this money, it can't be that bad. But I feel like our audience is much more going to just want something to watch when they're just kind of chilling at home, potentially with the family. So yep. That sounds just about up Disney free on Disney Plus's alley.
Sounds like that's the move for us. But this coming Friday, the only two releases that I have in my head, Disney Plus is releasing its animated Diary of a Wimpy Kid movie, which I for sure am going to check out because I did love those books growing up. Don't know about Matt and Tanner, but another major release actually for week of Thanksgiving was House of Gucci, which is getting a lot of attention. So I'm going to do my best to get to the theaters and check that one out. And then Hawkeye episode 3. I think that's the rundown next week, potentially.
That's a decent week, though.
That is a pretty decent week. Got something for everybody in there.
Yeah.
Well, then, guys, I didn't say it at the top, but please go follow us on Instagram at Binge Boys Pod and Twitter at Binge Boys Pod. Doing our best to stay on top of that trending that trending conversation. Go leave a like and a follow on all the platforms, man, on Spotify, on Apple, on the YouTubes, on you know, anywhere that you can find Binge Boys Pod. Make sure you're subscribed and following along and following us into the new year. It's gonna be big stuff. We're really excited and hope everyone again had a happy Thanksgiving and a super Spider Monday, also Cyber Monday. But that's it, Matt. Anything else?
Not that I can think of, man. It was a good week podding with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It was a good episode.
It was a good one.
I guess bye.
See ya. Say hey, what you like?